Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the Internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Born in the 1940s, We Remember, with myself and my excellent co-host, Jim Fetzer. Good morning, Jim.
Oh, good morning, Maria. I can't believe everything going on now between AIPAC yesterday and Brussels today and Republican hysteria. The waves are just covered with all kinds of interesting events.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the little bit that I did get to see this morning on Brussels, what I found interesting was it supposedly, first they say there were three sites bombed, then they said there were two sites bombed. Hollande in France said this is a war against Europe and the European Union's freedom. They immediately put up a picture of two young Muslim-looking boys that they say were suspect. And, of course, immediately the Islamic State supposedly took credit for the event. So my sense is, you know, those freedoms and democracies that Brussels might have been experiencing is about to go the way of the rest of the European Union.
Yeah, I suspect if they went to the Israeli embassy, they'd be closer to the heart of the matter.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I watch the world and I, you know, look, it's my first thought, is this a staged event? And I'm not the only person that thinks that way anymore.
That's so good, Maria. And I have yet to see any blood. I mean, we had these vast numbers of claims about how many died at the Boston bombing or were injured. They went as high as 260. Even in the close-ups, there aren't more than maybe 15 or 20 who turn out to be amputee actors, and there is no blood. I mean, this whole thing is just grotesque, how they have gone bananas by orchestrating events and palming them off as real.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm about halfway through your book, and nobody died in Boston either. And it's excellent. It's absolutely excellent. And again, anybody that reads this book and looks at the pictures and still thinks that what we saw was real, I don't know what else you can do to convince them, Jim.
Well, Sandy Hook book, I have 13 contributors, 425 pages, 250 photographs. This book has a dozen contributors, has 440 pages and 350 photographs. It's about as thorough and devastating as it could be.
Absolutely. So when you read that, you read Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, you read Dave McGowan's work. I mean, there's so much work out there. I don't know how anybody can not see that this is a worldwide stage event to create a one world disorder. And, you know, the fact that it kind of comes in at the same time that the whole world economy is crashing, I don't think is accidental.
And if anyone wants to have an easy intro to false flag attacks, a presentation I gave in Seattle a few weeks ago has been very nicely edited into false flags from 9/11 to Sandy Hook and beyond, where I cover five false flag attacks, just giving the bare bones, Maria, in less than an hour. I talk about 9/11, Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, San Bernardino, and Paris.
Well, what amazes me is how many people are starting to attack Jim Fetzer now. I mean, when I look at all of this, I'm like, oh my God, has the world truly gone insane? And, you know, I have to tell you, I was talking to this kid, he's 15 years old, he's very knowledgeable about not just spiritual things, but the world situation. And Sunday, he actually asked me this question, and he's such a smart, concerned young person, Jim. He said to me, but Maria, where and when did it all start going wrong? And what do you think my answer to him was, Jim?
JFK, 22 November 1963. We know exactly where and when it all started to go wrong.
Absolutely. You know, I'm watching that show on Hulu, November 22nd, 1963. And so far, it's an interesting concept, but it's still, even in the sixth episode, there's eight episodes total. I don't know if you're watching it. They still are pointing to Lee Harvey Oswald. So, as interesting as the show is, because it is a fantasy of going back to the past and trying to stop the assassination, I still see it as reinforcing the official lie. And you're absolutely right. That's what I told that kid. I said it all happened when John Kennedy was murdered. That's when everything went to shit and hasn't been the same since and seems to get worse every day.
And the key players were Lyndon Johnson and setting it up, and J. Edgar Hoover and covering it up, or Lyndon even sent his chief administrative aide, Cliff Carter, down to Dallas to make sure all the arrangements were in place for the assassination.
So, it's interesting. I'm going to keep watching the series, and then I'll probably post my review of the entire series. James Franco is the star, and he's doing a great job. But it just bothers me to see how much of the official story they're weaving into this supposed fantasy. Anyway, with this Brussels attack, I was reading all the comments from all the world leaders, which of course is loaded with sympathy for the people that supposedly died. I think the number's up to 30 now. However, the whole world also read what Donald Trump posted this morning. And it's all about the Muslims. It's all about shutting down the borders. And he's really getting slammed. And I know that you're kind of a fan of Donald Trump, but I got to ask you, Jim, I read his speech word for word and Hillary's that they gave in front of AIPAC. And I said, okay, got to ask Jim this morning, where do you stand on Trump after reading that speech?
Well, acutely disappointed. That was pandering big time. He gave a speech that was prepared. It was a terrible speech. It was acquiescing to every absurd demand Israel has ever made. He talked about it as the Jewish state. He talked about moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. These are all incredibly controversial ideas. He denigrated the idea of a Palestinian state. I was frankly embarrassed. It was acutely disappointing. It's troubled me profoundly, and I've written to one of his advisors about it to express my acute disappointment.
Well, he also blamed the Muslims for 9/11. You can't miss that in the speech.
Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, anyone who's actually studied 9/11 knows that it was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, most of whom had come from Project for the New American Century and were dual U.S.-Israeli citizens and the Mossad. There isn't really a lot of doubt about it. I have a two-hour program, by the way, for anyone who has skepticism about what I'm saying here. It's the Real Deal, episode number 100, 9/11, Who Was Responsible and Why, with Dennis Camino, where I just go through the evidence systematically from the airports where an Israeli security firm was in charge to the transfer of the World Trade Center by a number of prominent Zionists on the Port Authority to Larry Silverstein, how he fired the security firm that had looked after the World Trade Center since it first opened in 1970, installed an Israeli security firm, got changed the insurance policy to include a terrorist, anti-terrorist clause, so that when he could claim there were two planes, that he got double indemnity and pocketed over $4.4 billion on a $114 million investment. The evidence is simply shocking and overwhelming, so I encourage everyone, by all means, go to The Real Deal, episode number 103, 9/11, Who Was Responsible and Why.
Right. Well, before we get into Trump and Hillary, because I got plenty to say there, I did want to finish with Brussels just for this morning because I'm sure I'll have plenty more information coming in. Hollande actually said that the entire European continent is at war now. Now think about this, okay? We went to war because, fewer than 3,000 Americans were killed. We use that as an excuse. But if you look at France, Paris, the attack, 130 people, the French lost every right they ever had. Now the count in Brussels is up to 30. And this is all happening at a time where the people in the UK want out of the European Union. It makes it very difficult for me to believe that this is anything but a staged attack.
Well, bear in mind now that the European community has been open-armed and receptive of Muslim immigration. The rape account in European countries has become astronomical. Sweden has suffered severely. There are a lot of very brutal people who are savaging the civilized citizens of those nations. Or frankly, I think that this is going to strengthen Trump domestically here in the United States. It's even in time that may make a difference for the vote in Arizona. So I'm really fascinated by the whole thing from a political point of view, but I think you're absolutely right. And get this too, Maria. Ash Carter just happens to be testifying before a Senate committee about the budget for the Pentagon when this takes place.
Right, and let's not leave out, it happens on the 22nd, okay? The 22nd. So these are, if the people study numerology and how the Illuminati use numerology and whatnot, yes, for their wicked deeds.
Yes.
It's interesting. Okay. It's another little aside that makes it even more, how could we say, quizzical.
but I really do think it's going to strengthen Trump politically, domestically, and make his proposal for a temporary ban on Muslims all the more plausible to the American people. And where on Fox they were just interviewing an expert about this, maybe it was MSNBC, because I go back and forth to get both points of view they represent, who I think this guy was from Princeton, from the Woodrow Wilson School, and was saying how important it was to cope with all of this. And the commentator was saying, well, don't you think it's going to strengthen the call for a ban on Muslims? And he all of a sudden shifted into a politically correct mode and said, oh, no, we can't do that. You know, that would be unkind or ungenerous. But look, Maria, 9/11 was blamed on Muslims. The Boston bombing was blamed on Muslims. San Bernardino was blamed on Muslims. ISIS made up of bad Muslims. But we got Charlie Hebdo blamed on Muslims. Paris blamed on Muslims. They claim that the Persians, that the Iranians are bad Muslims. There's another area where Trump is completely off his rocker, his critique about the Iranian deal. I've been complaining about this for some time. Our own intel agencies, all 16, concluded in 2007 that Iran was not pursuing nuclear weapons, a conclusion they reaffirmed in 2011. The Mossad itself came to the same conclusion in 2012. Just 3 weeks before Bibi Netanyahu went to the United Nations and announced precisely the opposite. The sanctions on Iran. Trump keeps talking about the $150 billion as though it were taxpayer money. That was Iranian money that was frozen by sanctions that are violations of Article 33 of the Geneva Conventions of 1949, which means that these sanctions, which are a form of collective punishment, whereas Article 33 specifies that no one can be punished for a crime they did not personally commit, actually qualifies war crimes. So it seems to me he's really off base on several of these issues in ways that are big time.
Right. Well, you know, when you look at, sanctions, what about Cuba? Okay. You know, here you have the President of the United States in Cuba. I see a lot of people posting, it's a communist country. Why are we there? You know, they're human rights records. And my thought is, what about human rights records right here in the United States? You know, what about the police state we're living in right now? Do you know what I mean? And I think Cuba is going to find out that they were way better off without us. Because it's like a corporate invasion. When you look at who accompanied Obama on this trip, it's the leaders of all these huge corporations. So it's another form, to me, of imperialism.
Yeah. Well, I think it had a whole lot to do with the Cuban immigrants, the anti-Castro Cubans here in the United States, and wielded tremendous political influence. It's only now beginning to wane. But it's had a disproportionate influence on our policy toward Cuba, which has been, frankly, absurd for all these years. It's a shame.
I know.
JFK was actually already interested in normalizing relations with Cuba. He had William Atwood, a close advisor, involved in working these things out. for a trip that Atwood was going to make to Cuba to discuss it face-to-face with Castro when Jack was whacked.
Right. I don't know if you saw, I caught a little bit of Chris Matthews yesterday when I was at the gym. And they asked him about Obama going to Cuba and what Chris Matthews, I thought it was so odd. They said, what do you think JFK would have done? And I was like, why are they bringing JFK out? And why would Chris Matthews be an expert on what JFK would do?
Yeah, Chris Matthews is a really mixed bag. I mean, sometimes he's very good and sometimes he's just terrible.
He's just such a loudmouth.
What did he say in this?
He said that he really doesn't know which way JFK would have gone. He could have done the same thing or he might not have. I just didn't even understand how that question came into it.
But we know as a matter of historical record, William Atwood, for example, has published a book about it, that JFK wanted to normalize relations with Cuba. I mean, it's obvious that's what he would have wanted to do. So here we got more than 50 years later, we're still debating whether we should normalize relation with Cuba and what JFK would have done.
Right. I mean, if you think about it, when they were plotting against Cuba and wanting to kill Castro, you know, Operation Northwoods, JFK was totally against it.
As you know, in relation to JFK, there's a fellow who runs an organization called Citizens for Truth About the Kennedy Assassination, or its acronym CTKA, who launched a massive two-part attack on me entitled The Decline and Fall of Jim Fetzer. And Maria, it was such an awful piece of work. I began responding to it as soon as I learned about it. And would you believe it took me 7 one-hour shows to go through this two-part attack to demonstrate that virtually every claim he made about me was based on ignorance or misrepresentation or incompetence. It was shocking. You can find it on my blog. You have all 7 of the episodes are linked there. These are video shows, so I'm actually presenting the evidence under the heading JFK, Jim Fetzer, replies to Jim DiGiugino's attacks on his research on jamesfetzer.blogspot.com. Mm-hmm. But it's embarrassing, Maria. This guy was so far off base. I mean, he was attacking me for my work on Sandy Hook, on the Boston bombing, even on the Holocaust. He doesn't know anything about any of these.
Well,
it became very revealing. It was really, for me, an opportunity to do some house cleaning.
Well, I do recall when I first started doing my show, it might have been before I even knew you, Jim, excuse me, that Jim DiEugenio had written a book with Lisa Peace about the Kennedys. And I remember, it was 16 years ago, interviewing him on it. But I also found that I didn't agree with every single thing that he had in his book. But then when I saw all these years later he's attacking you, I was like, what the hell's going on?
I know, it's bizarre, because he's one of those who want to deny that the Zapruder film was altered. He wants to deny that Lee Oswald was actually caught in a famous photograph standing in the doorway. There's a special irony with that one, Marie, because he claims to be an expert on Jim Garrison, but Garrison himself believed that Oswald had been captured in that famous photograph, which we prove in multiple ways. But he and a host of others who have been, gatekeeping in JFK research, Josiah Thompson, Robert Grodin, even oddly enough, David Lifton. It's very, very peculiar, because Lifton came out with an attack in the wake of this exchange on me.
My
work on Sandy Hook, about which he knows absolutely nothing.
Right.
And a guy named James Norwood, who I used to think was a good guy, he had a course on the assassination. He taught on the Twin Cities campus of the University of Minnesota. He used one of my books, Murder in Dealey Plaza, as the text, had me come down, give a lecture to his students, was a member of the Oswald Innocence Campaign, where to gain membership, you simply have to subscribe to the proposition that Lee Oswald was not among the shooters because he was captured in the famous photograph taken by James Ike Alshans during the shooting. which proves, of course, not only can he not have been the lone demented gunman, but not even one of the shooters. Mm-hmm. So that when I stepped down as chairman of the OIC, he became my successor and immediately started to trash the whole society and undermine all of its research, which was simply absurd. We got him out very, very fast. I mean, that's the degree of duplicity we're encountering in JFK research today.
Yeah, well, you know, I also understand that some film producer, I think, is suing the media for the lies they told on Sandy Hook, and I think he's suing for millions of dollars.
It's William Shanley. I know him. He's a film producer, director. He has several films out there. And he is suing the media for $1 trillion for its failure to you know, misleading the public about Sandy Hook. I actually support him in this. And it was over a year ago, about a year and a couple of months ago, that he launched his initial lawsuit, which turned out to be technically flawed. And this is where I had a falling out with Wolfgang Halbig, because we had a conversation about this, and I explained to Wolfgang that I was supporting Shanley's lawsuit. I didn't see where it had any ramifications for him. But he said to me on the phone, well, if that's how you see it, I guess there's nothing for us to talk about. And he hung up on me, and he's basically cut me out ever since. I talk about his work all the time because he's made major contributions to Sandy Hook research. But it's also strange. He is a great fan of Israel, however. I think he may have realized I've done research on the Holocaust and taken offense at that.
Well, you never know. I mean, I've seen this in the whole 16 years of doing my show online. You know, even with 9/11, as soon as someone else comes out with another piece of the puzzle, everybody gets all pissed off and cuts them off. But, you know, like I've been saying since Kennedy was killed, you know, we are all doing our best, pretty much a guesswork and patchwork, because the people that have the evidence, which is the government, is never going to give it to us. You know, look at that plane crash that happened in Russia this week. They found the black boxes immediately. And when I saw the pictures online, you couldn't see all the wreckage, the luggage, this, that, the other thing. Something none of us saw at any of the sites on 9/11.
Yeah. Well, all those crashes were fake. You know, the intro to my real deals includes a series of clips, including Walter Cronkite announcing that JFK was dead, Robbie Parker coming out, you know, and smirking before he speaks to the press about the death of his daughter Emily the day before, the purported death. But also Jamie McIntyre reporting from his close-up inspection, there's no evidence of any plane. He says that any plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon. And, of course, at Shanksville, there's nothing there to indicate a plane crash had taken place, nor at the Pentagon. And in New York, it was all fabricated and faked very cleverly. They even planted an engine at Church and Murray, where Jack White, who was a brilliant photo and film analyst, discovered Fox News footage of a white van at that intersection where four or five guys in FBI vests are unloading something heavy. They put it underneath a steel scaffolding, Maria. It was just sitting on the sidewalk. If anything that massive had come at high velocity, it would have smashed up the sidewalk, but it's just sitting on top of the sidewalk. Turns out to be an antiquated engine, not even from a current 767. And would you believe they even left behind the dolly in the foreground? Mm-hmm. And more recently, there was a report of the discovery of a landing gear found wedged between two buildings in Maria. It still had attached to it a piece of rope that had been used to help to lower it into place.
Right. Well, you know, this week, you probably don't know, but this week there was a plane headed toward LAX that almost got hit by a drone. And I thought about that because I had just put up a picture on social media of a plane that got hit by a bird and the damage the bird did to that plane. So that means that if there were planes that hit the Trade Center, they would have crumbled up like a piece of paper mache.
Right. Externals of the building, the wings, body, seats, luggage would have fallen to the ground. We have photographs beneath the facades. There's nothing there. You could have reclined in a lounge chair sipping Mai Tais and been perfectly safe. And the fact is that we have done frame-by-frame advances, Maria, and that plane disappears its entire length into the building in the same number of frames it passes its entire length through air.
Right.
There's no collision effects whatsoever, which means we're looking at some kind of fakery. What's been interested is figuring out exactly how it was done.
Right. But when you look at, you know, the size of the average drone, you know, they're not that big. Okay, they are bigger than birds, but they're certainly not the size of a plane. And if they were afraid that that drone was going to take down a jetliner, how can anybody believe that those buildings that were built with all that reinforced steel in the centers just came down because they got hit by two planes? I mean, you got to be really stupid to buy that story anymore.
I know, especially after all these years. So.
I know. And now you look at today, here we are on the 22nd, and, you know, back to Brussels just for a second. I had an article this morning that they immediately ramped up security in New York and in D.C. So my thought is this the beginning of a day where we're going to have a couple of hits, or is this just enough for whatever their purpose is?
Well, when I take a closer look, I'm not going to be surprised to find that Brussels was just complete scam, just whether anyone died, I think, is going to become a serious question. I'd like to see some photographs of where the bombs are supposed to have been set off, whether there's any real blood in the vicinity, because in Boston, we had simulated explosions. There was noise and smoke, but it turned out the smoke came from a smoke machine. There was no blood initially, which is a physiological impossibility. You can't have limbs blown off without blood being everywhere. It only showed up later. It was Hollywood blood, fake blood. It came out of a tube. So the subtitle I gave to that book is State-Sponsored Terrorism with Hollywood Special Effects.
Right. And I, you know, reading the book, everybody really should get a copy, because you'll understand why they continually demonize Muslims in the book, why they're always the first ones blamed, what are they after, the whole blood story you're talking about, the fact that Jeff Bauman might not really be Jeff Bauman. You know, just his
right.
leg issues alone show that
right.
day was a phony.
Right, absolutely correct, absolutely
and
correct.
And then I think your book said that, what was it, like 9 weeks later or less, he was at some kind of basketball game or some kind of game where every doctor in the world says that kind of trauma would take months before you could even think about going outside.
That's right. I had a wonderful conversation with Dr. Stan, who was himself an orthopedic surgeon who performed amputations of this kind. And he explained to me, it's at least 3 months just to recover from the amputation, another 3 months to figure out how to get around without your legs. And yet Jeff Bauman, who had his legs blown off below the knee, presumably at the marathon, now 19 days later, he's at a Boston Bruins game, and now his legs have been blown off above the knee. And it's not even the same guy, Marie. I mean, they're so blatant, they're so arrogant, they think they can pull off anything on a gullible American public.
Look, just reading what the doctors say about his supposed injury and how he should have been screaming in agony and dead within seconds from having his legs blown off, he would have bled out. They never would, a normal EMP or whatever, they never would put him on a wheelchair sitting up. He should have been on a stretcher with his leg elevated. And there he is, you know, with his, you know, Carlos Arriendos, whatever the hell that guy's name was, you know, having photo ops.
With these kinds of injuries, from the bleed out, you're unconscious in 1 minute and dead in two. The last thing you would do is to put someone with this kind of injury in a wheelchair where gravity helps to pull out the blood, which is a further indication, of course, that he didn't actually suffer from any injuries at all. In fact, when you look through the smoke, even before the blood starts showing up, there's a guy in a hoodie who's helping to attach a false bone prosthesis. So
right.
It looks even more horrifying. And Maria, would you believe when they're running him away in the wheelchair, that the vibrations were so substantial that the false bone prosthesis fell off and they had to stop and reconnect it?
Yeah, I saw the pictures. You know, I have to tell you something. Here's a story, okay, and it's true. Back in the day when you got married in New York, I think it was my second marriage, you had to take blood tests before you got your license. Do you remember having to take blood tests before you got married?
Well, I got married. My first time, I eloped to Las Vegas from California.
Oh, okay.
And got married in Fred White's wedding chapel, and we flew back to California before anyone knew we were even out of the state.
Well, I guess
no blood test there.
I guess we had to take blood tests to make sure we weren't related or whatever. If you're going to have children, who knows, right? So I go to the doctor with my future husband to take the blood test. And as I'm standing next to the doctor, he sticks the needle in my arm and he starts taking blood. But when it came to doing that for my husband-to-be, he sat him down in a chair and then put a tourniquet around his arm to take the blood. And I said to him, why is he sitting down? And you just like jab me like an animal, right? And you know what he said? He said, because most men pass out when we take their blood. Now, if most men pass out taking a blood test for marriage license, how in the hell was Jeff Bauman still conscious, keeping his head off the floor so he didn't get any of the fake blood in his hair? He didn't want to mess up his hair and not bleed to death or pass out just from shock.
Yeah. It's all totally artificial, totally fake, totally fraudulent.
I mean, if I haven't lived this long, I would never know these things. But because I even experienced how differently they treat a man when you go to a hospital than they do a woman, because they know they don't have the same, you know, pain level that women can take, I'm like, how is this guy, you know, he was all active and smiling and had the presence of mind to describe the perpetrators?
Yeah, completely absurd. And those photographs of the brothers at the marathon were photoshopped. And most strikingly, the FBI report concluded that the two bombs that went off were both black nylon backpacks. But the photographs of the brothers show neither of them is wearing a black nylon backpack. I had a retired professor of law review the evidence we'd accumulated and asked him what was the most powerful. And he said the backpacks, the fact they don't match. There wasn't even probable cause for an arrest, much less an indictment or a conviction in a court of law.
Right, kind of like if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit.
That's right. You can use a phrase. But of course, at the O.J. trial, they made sure those were skin-tight fitting gloves, so they had O.J. put on latex gloves, which would guarantee they wouldn't fit. I mean, that was so artificial right in front of our very eyes.
Well, I never bought the story they gave us on that either, but that's not what we're talking about today. Jim, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, I do want to discuss both of the speeches at AIPAC. I want to discuss AIPAC because this is the most... The most upsetting thing in the world to me.
If anyone wants a Boston book, it's available at moonrockbooks.com.
Is it Moon Rock or Moon Rocks?
Moon Rock.
Okay, because I put the wrong thing in the last time, and then people saw, I don't know, I think it was a pot dispensary with different kinds of moon rocks, and one of my listeners let me know I put up the wrong thing, and he said, but this looks pretty interesting, too. I'll check it out before I put a link in today.
You got it.
Stay with us. Jim and I will be right back.
Relationships. You hear a lot of experts talk endlessly about having a successful relationship, but do they? Maria has combined her years of experience, spirituality, knowledge, wit, and wisdom about relationships into one small, concise, useful book, Relationships Cutting to the Chase. The most important relationship of all is the relationship you have with yourself. If you're not in a loving, healthy relationship with yourself, you'll continue to have problems in all types of relationships. Maria shows you how to have one and great relationships of all sorts in her latest book. You can find the book at maria.net, that's M-E-R-I-A.net, under Maria's books, Stop Suffering and Enjoy a Happy Life with Fulfilling Relationships. You may decide to buy one for everyone you know. Order your copy now at maria.net. Now back to this fascinating show.
Welcome back to Born in the 40s. In the 1940s, I don't want you to think we were born in the 1840s. It feels like it sometimes. We remember with myself and Jim Fetzer. Jim, this AIPAC conference, all the ass kissers were there, including Ted Cruz, you know, the man of God who Anonymous is about to expose how many times he's visited prostitutes. And I would say, so what? It's probably the only way that guy will ever get laid is if he pays for it.
He's a bizarre person, Maria. I still don't feel I have a handle on who this person really is. He's an enigma.
I think he has a little of Eddie Munster's DNA, and he should give it back.
Well, he does look like a member of the Addams family.
And his father is as crazy could get. He's like every one of these proselytizing, you know, cult leaders that calls themselves a Christian, because don't forget, God picked his son to run for office. Didn't Ben Carson say God told him to be president, too? I guess his God. Right, I think his God proved to be fallible.
Maybe God should have made him a natural-born citizen, by the way, to be eligible to run for office, because there's so many questions about Cruz as there were about Rubio.
I know. A lot of people are saying, why didn't Canada send us Trudeau instead to run for president?
Right.
But when I read and I spent the time this morning, even though I knew it probably would turn my stomach, I spent the time reading the entirety of Hillary Rothenberg Clinton's speech, who found out she was a Jew when she was 60. I find that hard to believe. Okay.
Well, Hillary claimed she discovered that she was Jewish when she's 60 years old.
Right. She didn't know her grandmother was a Jew till she was 60. Okay. I knew my grandmother was a crazy Sicilian from the minute I popped out of my mother.
Meaning she cleverly concealed it until it was politically expedient to reveal it.
Exactly. Well, I got to tell you, when Donald Trump signed off his speech with, I love Israel, my daughter will be having a beautiful Jewish baby.
That was nauseating, Maria.
Oh my God, I said.
I was ready to barf over that. That was so awful.
First of all, you can't have a Jewish baby. Jewish is not a nationality, it's a religion, okay? Being a Jew, Judaism is a religion. It's not a nationality. And I did not know when he was bragging about being the Grand Marshal at the 40th salute to Israel and on, you know, kissing Israel's ass. Both of them said, as soon as they get in the White House, they're going to invite Netanyahu to the White House.
The world's biggest liar and the brains behind 9/11. They're going to fat him at the White House.
Yeah, I was like, "What? Whose country are these people running?" I will say this, and I'm going to say something might insult a few people, okay? But I'm going to say it anyway because it came to me yesterday, especially with all the fake Christians in this country that I like to slap the Bible across their face because I know none of them have ever read it. Think about this, Jim. Bernie Sanders, the only Jew running for office, maybe the first Jew ever to run for president. I don't think there ever was a Jew before. He's a socialist Jew. He turns down speaking at AIPAC while the Christians go in, the fake Christians, to the lions. And I said to myself, what if, since Jesus, if he was indeed a historical figure, we don't even need to get into that. I've done tons of shows on that. But if Jesus was a socialist Jew, why aren't these Christians thinking that perhaps Bernie Sanders, who's also a socialist Jew, is the second coming of Christ? They were so quick to say Obama was the Antichrist. Well, maybe Bernie is the second coming.
You know what Harry S. Truman said, Maria, when asked about why he didn't try harder to please the Jews? He said, well, if Jesus Christ couldn't please the Jews, how in the world could anyone expect I could do that?
Well, we know also how Nixon felt about the Jews, too. So, I mean, they've been prejudiced against in this country for a very long time. And remember the hoopla they made over Kennedy running for office, the first Catholic president.
Haven't Jews been run out of something like 160 countries in the past? I mean, it's quite a record of amazing, because they've been so upsetting, you know, so much infiltrating the financial and banking systems and taking over the countries. They've been run out of a very large number. Yeah, I got the total wrong, but check it out.
But, you know, this weekend, I forget who I was having a conversation with. I know it's a Republican thinking person. And I started talking to them about, growing up in New York. And even though this person was a Republican and I think pro-Trump or Hillary, I don't know which one, they said to me, well, what do you think? And I said, okay, you grew up in New York, okay? And I grew up as an Italian in New York. But there were three things we all were told since we were children, okay? And this is how it works in New York. I said, if you need a good doctor, make sure he's a Jew. If you need a good attorney, make sure it's a Jew. And if you need a good finance person, make sure it's a Jew. And you know what? He agreed with me. So I said, so who better than Bernie Sanders, a Jew from New York, to run this country? And, you know, he got where I was coming from. They just seem to excel at certain things that other people don't. And that's the way it is. And it's not going to change. Okay.
Well, I don't want to be responsible for an exaggeration. So I just checked it out. And it turns out there are 109 locations where Jews have been expelled since 8250, beginning with Carthage and Alexandria, down to more recently Nazi-controlled areas and Arab countries, and no doubt others in addition, but it's a pretty disturbing history.
Well, I think a lot of it is jealousy. I hate to say it. Look, I'm not defending one people over the other, but those people have always made sure that education was important. That's why their kids are always smarter and go ahead of everybody else. Okay, that's like, I don't know if it's an ethnic thing or what. But let's get back to Trump and Hillary, okay? There's a great little picture. I put up of both of them. They look like kids from The Shining, and they're both wearing the Jewish star and dresses. Hillary is saying that they have to fight anti-Semitism and this boycott, you know, boycott against Israel. Both of them agree.
Investment and so forth. One of the few methods available to anyone who wants to stand up for Palestinian rights.
Exactly. Now, both of them also agree that if the UN comes up with a two-state solution, they will fight against it.
I thought that was pretty bizarre. What Trump was saying, attacking the UN, just baffled me completely. Because, I mean, you know, from the time of my birth, my entire life, Maria, the UN has been extolled as mankind's greatest hope for peace in the world. And believe it or not, even if it's flawed as an instrumentality, I continue to think that it represents the higher aspirations of mankind. So I was rather blown away by that.
Well, how about both of them wanting to dismantle the agreement that Obama made with Iran? And it's, they both seem to be threatening Iran the second they get in office.
Maria, do you know that Iran may be the most peace-loving country in the world, has not attacked any other nation since 1775, that the Constitution only began its ratification in 1787, that George Washington was elected in 1789, which means that for longer than the United States has existed as a constitutional republic, Iran has not attacked any other nation.
I see that, but, you know, when Hillary was getting close to closing her speech, I was like, oh, my God. She said that Israel and the United States are a light unto the nations because of our values, and called Israel a bastion of liberty. What values?
A bastion of liberty, huh?
Right, and that Israel and the U.S. are a light unto the world. She even quoted the Old Testament and the Book of Esther. I was like, oh, my God, what a hypocrite. When she was campaigning in the South, she was throwing the Bible around, and now she's quoting the Old Testament.
So the greatest apartheid state in the world today, Israel, is a beacon unto the world. And, you know, they are the greatest terrorists, practitioners of terrorism and false flag attacks the world has ever known. It goes back, you know, at least to 1946 when the King David Hotel was bombed by a group of Jewish terrorists, Ergun terrorists dressed as Arabs to drive the British out of Palestine. Of course, 1967, we had the bombing of the U.S., strafing of the USS Liberty, where Lyndon Johnson, sad to say, was involved, in an attempt to take it out and blame it on the Egyptians to draw the U.S. into a war where Israel, in fact, needed no help. In 1992 and 1994, they committed bombings in Argentina. They blew up their own embassy, Maria, and then 2 years later, because it didn't get enough publicity, their Jewish community center, they killed the first time around 24 and then around 84 the second time around. But they claimed they were car bombs, but both buildings blew up from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And this was to punish Argentina for its cooperation with Iran and the peaceful development of nuclear energy.
Right, kind of like those windows that blew out at Sandy Hook instead of in. They both also seem to have accused Palestinians of being the terrorists there.
Yeah, it's so excessive. And they don't talk about how the IDF picks off Palestinian kids for sport. You know, I mean, that's a typical practice there. I was stunned by a lot of what they were saying, which reflects no appreciation for human rights and the misery to which the Palestinian people have been subjected. There's a lot of belief that the Fukushima disaster was brought about by Israel using a Sputnik virus to punish Japan for having supported Palestinian statehood, and that the events in France were because France had become a hotbed of support for Palestinian rights. So they organized Charlie Hebdo initially, and then the Paris attacks.
But when Trump said that Israel's been trying for a long time to make peace with Palestine, I was like, what? What planet is this guy living on? I mean, that's truly a war of David versus Goliath. You know,
I agree. That's another gross misrepresentation. It's very, very troubling to me that this man, in whom in many ways I have a great deal of admiration, should come out with some of these absolutely astonishing statements that are provably false. In pandering to Israel, I mean, his great strength was he was not a panderer. He wasn't a guy who was going to compromise. He was going to be neutral in negotiating a deal between the Israel and the Palestinians. It was going to be the toughest deal, but he was the best person to go about doing it. Nothing about that at the AIPAC meeting. It was all squandering all the political capital he'd accumulated in a single stroke.
Absolutely. Even when he said that Iran is the big problem in the Middle East because they're the ones that have seeded terrorist groups around the world. But ISIS has never hit Israel. Can't people see that?
If you replace the word Iran with the word Israel, he would have had it right.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? Both of them made me sick. They might as well both got on their knees and licked the ass of Netanyahu.
Very, very, very troubling, Maria. Very troubling.
But Hillary did admit in her own speech that she's worked closely with AIPAC for years. And it was very clear she was blaming the Palestinians for everything, for being the victims. They get the blame. It was truly disgusting. Did you happen to see that supposedly, with Trump, I mean, the way this guy, he reminds me of Barnum and Bailey, okay? He is a genius in getting attention and creating stories. So I don't know whether there was real truth to the news story this week that supposedly his son, who lives in one of his buildings on Central Park West, got an envelope with white powder in it.
Yeah.
And of course, they milked that story. And of course, all I could think of was Tom Daschle after 9/11 when he got, the Democrats started getting the white powder until, of course, it was traced to Fort Detrick, Maryland, military grade anthrax.
That's right. Tom Daschle and Patrick Leahy, who wanted to hold hearings on the Patriot Act before it was passed.
Right. And that newspaper editor in Miami, remember, he also got it.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Lenny Horowitz that immediately traced it to Fort Detrick, and all of a sudden the anthrax envelopes disappeared. No more anthrax was being mailed. So now we're supposed to say, oh, Donald Trump's family is being attacked. You know, I've seen no proof that that envelope ever existed. And you know those kind of buildings. You don't get your mail yourself, okay? Not on Central Park West. Okay, the poor schmuck who's the doorman is the one that's going to open your mailbox and bring you your mail.
Yeah. Well, white powder could be almost anything.
Probably cocaine. Probably cocaine. I know his son's a big-time hunter. Maybe he likes to get stoned and go out and shoot innocent animals. Who knows?
I mean, I've heretofore assumed that it was a legitimate threat, but today I'm less certain. I mean, after this performance at APAC, my confidence in Trump has been severely shaken, I'm sorry to say.
I thought so, and I was like, oh my God, I don't want to hurt Jim's feelings, but we got to talk about this today.
I know.
What about the fact
I've already posted about it on my Facebook page.
Oh, I feel bad for you, but whatever, it's not, listen. We all want a hero, okay? And the only hero we're going to get today is if we go to Subway and buy one. How about the fact that both of them pretty much tore our current president apart? With Trump, I wasn't so surprised, but Hillary was in his cabinet. Do you know what I mean? Obama rewards our enemies. The worst.
I agree, Maria. That was quite striking. I mean, after all, Hillary has been campaigning as an extension of Obama's policies, as
right.
in essence a third term for Barack Obama. Now suddenly it's as though she pivoted on a dime, and now she's attacking him, and in a fairly savage way.
Right, like a week after Obama meets with those donors and tries to tell Bernie Sanders to drop out so everybody can back Hillary, she stabs him in the back.
Right, I thought that was very, very strange and unethical. I agree completely.
Hypocritical. So disrespectful, you know. Listen, not that Obama deserves a ton of respect, but he is the president of the United States, and she worked for him. You know, she needs him to get this nomination. Make no mistake about it. And yet he wanted Bernie, who's getting audiences of 30 and 60,000 people at a time, which the media is not covering. He wants Bernie to step down. And Bernie's basically saying, no way.
Going on here, and I live near Madison, and I was listening to a radio show the other morning where a fellow named Matt Rothschild, who's an old-time progressive, the editor of the Progressive magazine, was interviewing a local political activist, and they were saying Trump was a fascist. But they were obviously ignorant of the meaning of fascism. It's a merger of big government with big business. Mussolini said it could be equally well defined as corporatism. Fascism is represented by NAFTA, by the World Trade Organization, by the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So that Trump, who opposes all of those, is in fact, so far from being a fascist, he's actually an anti-fascist. And let me add another absurdity of their conversation. They were saying that because Trump had all these business and personal connection with members of Washington for so long, he was actually an insider rather than an outsider, ignoring the distinction between being a professional politician and being a businessman in whose interest he wants to maintain cordial relations. I mean, he talked about buying and selling politicians in a very open way. I thought these guys were representative of left-wing critique of Trump that's hopelessly detached from reality, that they're suffering from political illusions that make no sense whatsoever. I mean, until now, I would have been absolutely adamant in support of Trump, but for his compromises at APAC yesterday, you know, I felt he was by far our best hope for the future because he's not playing the game and because he does want to defeat the very measures, these free trade measures that have gutted our manufacturing industrial base, where Bernie's victory in Massachusetts, I think, is just the tip of the iceberg. But Hillary, of course, is sensitive to this and now claims she opposes the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but I do not believe
of course
anyone
not.
Accepts that.
There's so much proof.
Right.
Susan Rice came out and actually said it. I covered it a few weeks ago on my show. She said that Hillary was instrumental in pretty much putting together TPP. She was there through the whole thing.
And NAFTA. I mean, she stood by Bill over NAFTA, which has truly been the most destructive single piece of legislation passed in recent American history for doing so much damage, lowering the quality of life and gutting our manufacturing and industrial base, bar none.
Yeah, she's a total lying hypocrite. Listen, we got 1 minute left. I just wanted to mention this. Not only were there a lot of rabbis and Jews protesting outside of APAC, against Trump and his you know hatred that he spewed against different races, but I had an article this morning that the ADL is returning the $56,000 that Trump has donated to them to anti-bullying programs. So the tide is turning, and it looks like it's turning on a dime. So you got to wonder how much of that's set up.
The ABL is returning money that Trump gave them?
Yep. Hard to believe they would return money, but they are. $56,000.
I'll have to ponder that development, Maria.
I know. It's a fine mess we've got us in now, Ollie. Remember that?
Yeah.
This is like watching Laurel and Hardy, except it's not funny.
Well, we're in desperate times, alas. I do think he's going to triumph in Arizona, and that this attack in Brussels may even help him out in Utah. So I do not count the Donald out. I do think, however, that his performance at AIPAC was highly discrediting.
It was disgusting, both of them. And I didn't even read Cruz because, to me, he's not even in the game. Okay, he doesn't have a chance in hell. Why even bother covering his crap?
Cruz is a total zealot, and something very, very strange about that.
Well, you know, online they say he's the face most people would like to slap. They actually had a contest of which face was more slappable. And his came up number one.
So I'm not surprised.
Well, Jim, I can't wait to see what transpires between this month and our next show. So I want to thank you so much for all your work and for spending this hour with me.
Terrific, Maria. I look forward to it.
All right. Take good care, Jim.
You too.
Jim Fetzer, check out his work, jimfetzer.blogspot.com/JimFetzer. I'll post a link to that too. Anyway, we live in a crazy world. Planet of the Apes indeed, my friends. And I'll be back on Thursday with news of Planet of the Apes. So between Monday and Thursday, it's like, ooh-wee, anything can happen. Thanks for supporting the show. If you resonate to the show, please donate or subscribe to the show. You are the only producer of this show. There is no outside money. There is no super PAC funding my show. I'll see you guys then.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.